Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you at the Living Savior Church today. I want all of y'all to know how much money I pay all these people to get healed. I pay them big bucks.
Have them fall down too.
Yeah, I have to fall down too. I want y'all to know that we have lots of people that think we're not true. You know, we really are not true. You would be amazed. I have got to tell you a wonderful story about unbelief and how it works. I won't give the man's name. I'll just tell you who he works for. I mean, you know, some people say I should not give people's names, but hey, I believe there's not a problem. You know, I don't think there's a problem at all. You can call my name anytime you want to. You can tell any kind of story on me. I don't care what you say. You know, I've had a lot of stories that are true about me and a lot of them that are false. So it doesn't make any difference. God knows the truth, right? How many of you have ever heard of James Robertson's ministries? How many of you believe he's a good ministry? Okay, so we're all on the same page. I love James. And so if somebody hears this comment that I think James is a fraud, I don't love him, and I'm going to quit giving to your ministry because you believe in James Robertson. Well, okay, praise God, that's okay. You know, I love James Robertson. I think he's doing a great work. I realize he was born out of wedlock. You know, I've heard him tell his story many times about how he had a demon of lust in his body because he was born out of wedlock. His mother was raped on a night in wherever the city she was working, and she didn't have a husband or nothing, and he was conceived. And she tried every way in the world to kill him because abortions weren't legal. Now, some of you may already know these stories. She tried every way in the world to kill this boy, but abortions were not legal. So finally, one day, in her trying to kill him, I heard the story that the Lord literally spoke to her and told her, "Do not kill this child in your womb. It is a boy, and I'm going to use him for my glory." Now, some of you may have heard that. But anyway, so she quit trying to kill the boy. I mean, after you hear God tell you, you know, you heard this voice, Mary, that would have an impact on you, would it not? I mean, you hear this voice, you don't see nobody, just like I've heard his voice many times. I have not been able to see the Lord. So she quit trying to kill him, and he was born, and of course, he born under the curse, of course, and he had all kinds of demons. He had demons of lust, and I've heard him tell his testimony before thousands, so I know it's okay. You know, he doesn't mind for us to know this, but there was a little carpet cleaner down in East Texas. He went down to a church to preach one night, and when he went in, he heard this man knew how to cast out demons, so he got in touch with him, and he said, "Do you think I have demons?" And of course, the little carpet cleaner, which was a man of God that went to a traditional church, but he had been given revelation similar to what God has given me about healing and deliverance. And so he looked at James and said, "James, I've cast out demons out of murderers, rapists, and everything else, and you have more demons than any man I've ever seen." Now, that's not what a preacher wants to hear, is it? But he said, "Now then, I'm going to set you free." So he went back there and said, in the name of Jesus, began to rebuke the devil, began to command the spirit to come out of James Robinson, and James Robinson's total life changed from that day forward. He was never the same. And then I was in a meeting myself with a Pentecostal pastor, and I heard this firsthand. This Pentecostal preacher, he was one of the best Pentecostal preachers in Fort Worth you had ever seen. And if you didn't believe he was, all you had to do is ask him, and in 2 minutes, he'd tell you, "I'm the best Pentecostal preacher in this town." He was very full of pride. I won't give his name. But anyway, whenever James Robinson got delivered, and he became a different man. Now then, all of a sudden, he can look out at the people. He's not lusting for every woman he sees. It changed his life. He knew something happened. He didn't understand what, but he knew now that demons were our problem. And so, I mean, you know, James had been raised up as a Baptist preacher, you know, so you have to say, okay, you know, he believed what the Baptists had taught him, and they taught him what they knew, but they didn't know everything by a long shot. And so anyway, as he's learning these things, he decided, "Well, I'll have a meeting and I'll call all of the pastors," because I used to blaspheme those pastors from the pulpit and tell them I didn't believe what they taught. And said I was very open, I'd tell it right over the air. So I decided I had sinned against all of them and against God. So I would call them all together in a big meeting in some big hotel somewhere here in Fort Worth and tell them how sorry I was, that I would never talk about them again. If I didn't understand what they did, I'd be good to them. I'd love them like Jesus told me to do. And he had this meeting, and this friend of mine that I knew personally, this best Pentecostal preacher in Fort Worth, was sitting back there in the back when James was saying Now, I want all of y'all to stand up, and I'm going to repent and pray a prayer before the Lord to forgive me for holding all these things against all of you. And I want y'all all to know that I have learned the problem in the church is not each other, but demons. That's what our problem is, demons. And so this friend of mine, this Pentecostal preacher, he stood up and he's sitting there on the back of the chair, holding his hands on the back of the chair, kind of looking down, and he said, "Yeah, Lord, I'm going to agree with him. The problem in the church is absolutely demons, and there's probably a few people in my own church got demons too. And that's probably the problem with my church," when the Lord spoke to him and says, "The problem in your church is you." Now, that's not what we want to hear. I mean, if the Lord spoke to me and told me that the problem in your church is you, I would get on my face before God until I found out what the problem was, and I would pour out my heart until I believed with all my heart I had done everything God wanted me to do, because I don't want the problem in my church to be me. I don't want anybody in my church to say Thurman's a false teacher. I don't want anybody to say Thurman Scrivener has paid, wonder how much he paid that man to get out of that wheelchair. Because you know people do that? You know they do that. In fact, I went over and visited at a friend of mine's house, and as I walked in, there was a Benny Hinn crusade on the TV, and he just happens to be a Church of Christ, but you know, it could have been a Baptist, it didn't make any difference. I walked in, and when I did, I walked in, and a man was getting out of a wheelchair. Benny Hinn had just prayed for this guy, and the guy was getting out of a wheelchair, and he was walking. And I walked in, I said, "Oh, I see you're watching a Benny Hinn crusade." He said, "Yeah, I wonder how much they paid that guy to get out of that wheelchair." I told him, I said, "Sir, that's real." He said, "Thurman, Jesus, don't do that no more. I'm a Church of Christ, and the Church of Christ has taught us that the miracles went away with the first set of apostles, and Jesus, don't do that no more." I'm going to tell you, those people have been lied to, ladies and gentlemen. They've been lied to, and they've believed a lie. And we have in the church today people that do not believe, and that's why we don't ever get anything from God, because God is a faith God, and the enemy knows that God demands faith for you to get healed. And if you don't have faith, and he demands you get rid of your unbelief, and in the Word of God, the only people that Jesus could not heal was those that didn't believe he could do it. Amen. Everybody that didn't believe never got healed. So I stand in awe. In the 30 years that I've been teaching the Word of God, and the people, in fact, I'm going to do some testimonies today with live people that don't even know I'm fixing to call on you. But Kim, I'm going to start out with you. I'm going to get a microphone, and I want you to stand up here and tell these people how much I paid you to get your back healed. And how long you'd had the back problem. Everything. Just tell them your testimony.
Well, I'm Kim Smith. I'm from Weatherford, Texas. And it's been almost 10 years that I've been healed. No, I was not paid. But I was like Dave and said, he can't guarantee anything. So I came here with very tiny mustard seed faith.
Oh, were you skeptical too?
Oh, yeah. I was the one who didn't want to be knocked down, because I had seen that by other evangelists on TV. So I came with a lot of doubt, but I did have faith enough of a mustard seed. And the Lord, in spite of my minuscule faith, did heal me. I had a back injury for 7 years. I was in a car wreck and couldn't sit very well, couldn't stand very well. And today I can run, play, go with my children everywhere, and I can sit and stand and sing the glories of the Lord up on stage and stand. So I thank you, Lord, for healing me over 10 years ago, and I just praise him and thank him for that. And no, I was not paid. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Michael, come over here and tell us about how long you'd had your back injury. Gracie, come up here with him. You're the one that prayed for him. I want y'all to tell these people how much I paid y'all to get healed. I'm trying to be funny now.
How much can we pay Jesus? It's all Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Tell us what was wrong with you, Michael.
I'm a mechanic, so I've worked on cars a long time, and I've dealt with back pain for 20 years. And I had a pretty bad injury to my back one day. I was carrying a differential third member, which weighed about 80 pounds. And there was a diamond plate floor covered in grease, and I was carrying this thing, and my feet went straight out from under me, and it slammed my back into the little bolts that are holding the diamond plate to the floor. And it was just terrible, excruciating pain a lot of the time. A lot of time just dull pain, felt like there was just a knife in there. Constant torment, never any peace. And I had no idea that this was a demon. And we came to two healing schools, and we listened with new ears, new heart, new mind. We were ready to receive and accept. And we were looking for the healer. We were looking for the face of Jesus. And one day, after two healing schools, we were remodeling our bathroom, putting some mud on the walls, skim coating so we could do smooth walls instead of textured. And tears were coming to my eyes. The pain was coming, and I knew what was next. I was going to be on all fours for a couple days, crawling around, incapacitated. It happens so often, I can just tell when it's coming. And Gracie was working with me, and she's asking, why are you getting grumpy? Why are you slowing down? Your arms aren't going nearly as fast. They're not going as high. We need to get this thing done. I told her, it's the pain. I'm about to be done. I'm gonna be not only done today, but for a couple more. And she said, well, you know, Pastor Thurman said, all we got to do is call on Jesus and pray about this, and the Lord will heal you. I said, yeah. That's what he said. And this is all brand new. Two healing schools deep. Gracie remembers Matthew 18:19, what it says. I remembered where it was. We go into the living room and we pray. Gracie prays for me. I repent. I call on the name of Jesus. 1 John 1:9, I repent. I forgive anybody that I've ever had a grievance against, any false burdens I was carrying. I was just clean. And as soon as we said amen, I was healed in one heartbeat.
He fell down and cried. And I said, what's the matter? What's going on? And he said, I have no pain in my body. He just was on his knees crying. And I was praising the Lord. I'm like, yay, let's get back to work.
First time in 20 years that my body was at peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Thurman.
Yeah.
Thank you for this ministry.
And can I give a real quick? So sure. After this happened one night, and after that, we had a lot of faith then. We knew that we had authority and dominion because we had taken authority over that situation. And one night in the middle of the night, sound asleep, it was like 3 a.m, I woke up with this horrible pain right under this rib. It would felt like somebody was, I've never been stabbed, but I don't know, it felt like a stabbing pain right here, horrible. So I start, of course, I wake up Mike, and I'm saying, because I know now that we have authority over these things. So I woke up Mike, and I said, Mike, pray for me. I have this horrible pain. It's horrible, and it just came upon me. So he started casting out demons of praying, and it was wild, crazy, but the pain moved from here to under my arm. And I said, Mike, and I'm telling him what I'm feeling in my body. And I said, this pain doesn't make sense. It just moved from here to under my arm. So he kept casting out. It moved to my elbow. This pain moved to my elbow. It was continuing to burn. It felt horrible. And I said, Lord, I've forgiven everybody. And I'm tired and sleepy in the middle of the night, but I'm in this agonizing pain. And he continues to pray. And I said, Mike, just keep praying. And the pain went to this finger. And then I said, Mike, please, keep praying, it's almost gone. And the pain disappeared. It was gone. And it was a process, but we kept having faith and believing that, you know, he was believing because I was kind of in the pain part, but I still believed. But it was just awesome that we learned all that from you, and we're so thankful for you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Praise
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Gina, come here. Praise the Lord.
I've been healed many different times in this ministry, but the one I wanted to talk about was this most recent one. And I want to encourage the single people because they don't have anybody to wake up except the Lord.
Amen. He's never asleep.
He's never asleep. So a Sunday night that I went to bed and I woke up about 1:30 and just felt really weird. I was hot, I was cold, and I just felt horrible. Well, Catherine prayed for me. I never did go back to sleep. you know, and I really thank God for that little book, the first book that we have, because it's right there next to my bed, and I just start reading those scriptures and seeking the Lord. Well, that was Monday morning. I didn't go back to sleep. I went to work Monday, and then by the time Tuesday night came back around, I was exhausted. I was just really tired. So I was talking to Rosemary on the phone, and I just felt really weird. I just couldn't explain it. I was hot. I was cold. I didn't feel like myself. It was like I was somebody else. And I had been convinced that I was dying, that the reason I can't find a place to live, I'm looking for a place to live, is because I'm dying. And that was, and I was totally convinced I was dying. So I prayed, I went to bed, I woke up again at 1:30 that next morning, and I got that little book, and I just prayed, I prayed, and I just sought the Lord. And by the next morning I got up, I felt great. And I have felt great the rest of the week. I have, don't have those thoughts anymore. And I went to work and I said, God touched me last night. And I was just praising the Lord.
Amen.
And I was just so grateful. Because I'm going to live.
He's real, is he not? He's
and I was not paid.
Yeah. You know, I just stand in awe when I think about things like this. And I guess at this point, when I met Dave, the man that was just here, standing here, just a few minutes ago. I met Dave over 10 years ago. And over at Plano, I was teaching in a church over there. In fact, the man that this church I was teaching in, he was the one that introduced me to God's Learning Channel in West Texas. But he has now went home to be with Jesus. He's no longer with us. He's at home with the Lord. But that night over at his church, Dave was there. And I made a statement like this. I said, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you will do what I tell you to do from God's Word, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. Now, it takes a man that knows who his God is to make a statement like that. And, of course, Dave, he looked at me and he says within himself, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. But let me tell you, I'm going to be in agreement with Dave that if you learn how to get into that secret place of the Most High, Jesus will heal. In fact, this lovely little lady sitting here on the front, Scott and Kim Smith sitting right here, this girl, when she said she didn't have any faith, when they came in that night, she sat way back over in the back, and when I give an invitation for people to come up to be prayed for, she wouldn't even come up. She didn't have enough faith to even come up that aisle. She thought something might happen. I might touch her and push her down or something. And she didn't. She'd seen that on TV, and she didn't want that to happen. So she would not even come up for prayer. But in her unbelief and the little bit of faith that they had by even coming, they had to have faith to come to my church because I'm known as a healing Jesus man. That's the way I'm known. I mean, I think not only did Kim sat on the back over there by the door, but I think about another little lady that came to our church one time. She had Lyme disease, and it's not curable. Her name is Liz Johnson. Some of y'all may know Liz. You know who she is, don't you? Liz Johnson, when she came to my church, she came to my church because of this. Her mother had come to a meeting I was at in Manny, Louisiana. There was a little group of people, not as big as this group is today, but maybe half this size. And there was a woman that had hated her daddy because he had sexually abused her as a child. And we have the testimony back there. And that's understandable. If you're a young girl and your own father, your own daddy, has sexually abused you as a child, that sounds to me like a good enough reason to be very upset and hate your daddy. But that doesn't count with God. You have to forgive him. And if you don't, well, then sickness and disease comes upon you. This woman had been sick all of her life. She had had several surgeries. And now then she has Parkinson's disease and shakes like this and lupus. And when that woman sitting back on the back row back there, when she heard me talk about how you had to forgive everybody or you're going to be sick, God himself is going to send a tormenting spirit, a demon, to torment you and make you sick. When she heard that, she back in her seat, asked God to forgive her for not forgiving her daddy. She forgave her daddy, although he was already gone, deceased. She forgave him, and then she got up, and I give the invitation. That woman got up and came almost running down that aisle. I still see her today. And when she got to the front, she's shaking like this, and I reached up, and I didn't know what all she had done. I didn't know what was wrong with her. I didn't know nothing. I'd never seen this woman before in my life. But that woman come down there, and when she got there, I just reached over and laid my hand on her shoulder and said, in the name of Jesus. That's all I said. And that power, when I laid my hand on people down there at Dallas, when Kim and her husband was back there in the back, when I said, in the name of Jesus, the king healed her back. And she didn't even come down. Nobody came down. And you've been healed for several years, 10 years, whatever it about. And you and your husband are very active. You work outside a lot. You run equipment a lot. So y'all can do anything you want to do, and you had to have no problem with your back in 10 years. Of course, it's changed their life forever. You know, I mean, they learn how to pray over everything. I mean, it's not anything uncommon for Scott to be out there, and they're doing somebody's yard or whatever, and it looks like it's going to rain, and he'll say, now, Father, we like 30 minutes here. Now, you said we could have anything we want to, so Father, in Jesus' name, you know, no more lightning and nothing. 30 minutes, we'll be through. And then people come and say, you better put your stuff up. It's fixing to rain. And he says, I prayed. They think you're crazy, but we prayed. And then many times he says, we get through, we get the grass cut, get everything picked up, roll the mowers and drive the mowers up in the big enclosed trailer, shut the door, and just as we shut the door and start to get in the truck, the bottom falls out and it starts raining. Does God hear their prayer? I think he does. But they live in a place of belief now, not unbelief. It's amazing how many of us that are in the church that don't have any faith. It's so sad that we serve a God that we will trust our life, supposedly, our soul, to him, but yet we don't know that he's not only the Savior, he's the healer, he's the deliverer, he's the provider, he's the one that makes you whole. He can do anything you can believe him for. Now then, I want us to look at Hebrews 11:1, faith. We have got to have faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith until after it's been exercised. Every once in a while, as this service says, God moves on my heart, I'm going to throw in another little something. And when I do, you'll have to know that these people don't know what I'm fixing to do today. Did any of you people give a testimony today knew I was going to do what I did so far?
No.
I didn't ask you to do that, did I, Michael? I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't ask you to do that, did I, Jenna? No, I did not ask you. I did not ask nobody to do nothing. I very rarely ever do anything like that. But now that we're talking about healings and backs, which we've had three, we've had two backs, I'm going to call out Jack Butler right here. I mean, Jack's sitting right there. Hold your hands up, Jack. That's where everybody said, Jack happens to be, he's not a very smart man. And he's only a doctor. You know, so you can't really depend on what he says because he's only a doctor. Is that right, Jack?
That's right.
So let me tell you, if anybody has get to the point in their life where they can become a doctor, there's something, they got it together up here. You agree with that, son?
I agree.
Yeah, I guarantee you. But this man is a doctor, yet he came to me a few years ago and he had terrible back trouble. Is that right, Jack?
Very bad back trouble.
He'd had it how many years?
Well, off and on for many years, but I'd had it acutely for 4 or 5 months.
Okay, for 4 or 5 months, he'd had it profusely. Now then, and I understand somebody said to get a microphone, so I guess when I'm walking amongst the people, I do need to have a microphone where I can turn it on. Okay, as I asked you questions, Jack, just tell us what happened, Jack. I won't ask you questions. Just tell us what happened to you.
Okay, well, the prehistory to that is I'd spent about $4,000 or $5,000. I'm reluctant to do that kind of thing, but the pain had kind of gotten my attention more and more every day. And so in the course of that, a friend of mine introduced me to Rosemary, and she tried a couple of times to relieve this pain, and she was unsuccessful. And so she said, I can't help you. I know someone that can. And so as a result of her invitation, I came to a healing
center. Out here?
Yeah, well, it was in Dallas.
Yeah, we were in Dallas. Yeah, okay.
So I came and I heard what you had to say, and you seemed very sincere, and you preached from the Word, and I was a good Baptist boy, and I believed in the authenticity of the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know that I believed what was in the Bible, except for a few things, John 3:16 and a few others. But nonetheless, I came up and you said, first thing you said to me is, Jack, The exact words are very important here because they're very specific. He said, do you believe that God will heal you? And it was sort of implied today or in the near future. He didn't say that, but it was a current thing. And I stopped and I thought a minute, and it kind of flashed through my mind what you'd preached and said and the scriptures you'd used. And I said, yes, I believe that he will. And not that he can, but that he will. And there's a huge difference.
Huge difference.
As a Baptist, I believed he could.
Yeah.
But unlikely that he would. but now I believe that he would. Okay, so you put your hand on my shoulder, and we shook hands and kind of held that shake for as you spoke. And so you said, now, Jack, have you had any sin in your life? And I said, yes, I have. And he said, have you repented of it? I said, yes, I have. And that was true. Okay. He said, okay, now I'm going to, he said, you've just been received a fiery arrow from the enemy. And I'm going to remove that from you. And you're going to be healed. And he reached around my back as if there was a real arrow, and kind of like he grabbed it and pulled it out. And then I believe you expelled the demons from me. And then you used Matthew 18:19. If two of us agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. And so that was the prayer. And then you said, now, Jack, praise the Lord and tell him thank you. And I did. And then you said, well, how do you feel? And I said, well, about the same. I said, okay, well, he explained to me then something critical in that. He said, God does two kinds of healings. One is instant, we call that a miracle, and one is a healing, and that takes an unknown period of time. So, okay, I turned around, the service was over, I turned around and walked out to the car. And when I sat down in my car, I took physical inventory. And the pain was gone, and it's not ever come back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Lord. And that was in 06, so it's been about 8 years.
8 years ago. Wow. Isn't God wonderful? Don't we serve a wonderful Jesus? Tony, is he wonderful or is he wonderful? He's wonderful. Okay, now then, I want us to go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith. Now that we don't have faith, the scripture itself says what he's going to do. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. If I'm going to do something for you, or you could tell anybody, but just say it was me. I was going to do something for you, and you tried everything you knew how to do, and there wasn't one single thing you could do that pleased me. Not one. What do you think the chances are that I'm going to do something good for you? What do you think the chances are, Jack? Zero. Well, that's exactly the way it is with God. You know, if you can't do anything that pleases the Master, he ain't going to do a whole lot for you, is he? See, we don't see God like that, do we? That's why we say, well, like a good Baptist, we know that he can if he wants to, but we're more than likely he won't. And why is it that he will not? Because we don't come to him in faith, do we, Jack? You notice that all the words that Jack said, he said these words are very important, the way he told the story. You know, because you didn't ever hear me say, now then that you've repented of your sin, I'm going to pray for you and I hope he will do something. If it's his will, because if you talk like that, you won't never see God do nothing. Because he's a faith God. Can you see God standing up there and saying, you know, I think I'm going to make myself a universe. I'm going to speak and I hope it happens. Can you see that? I mean, no. I mean, our God don't do business like that. He said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me. But he says there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes when you come to him, I believe Scott and Kim were diligently seeking the Lord, even in their unbelief. And God knew their heart. He just like Mike and Gracie. I mean, he knew after they'd come here two times, heard two healing schools, that their desire was to serve him. They didn't know how it worked yet, but they're getting a hold of it. And it worked, didn't it, Michael? And it worked. And in the, when, that's why when the Lord says, like Kim says, if we just had a mustard seed size of faith, that's all we need. So just think, ladies and gentlemen, if we can get to the point where we're dwelling in a secret place, wow. And we don't just have a mustard seed size, we got a teacup full of that stuff. What can we do with a teacup full of that stuff? Unlimited things, right? That's why that when you learn how to dwell in that secret place, just like that one story Dave didn't tell you very much about it, but Cheryl and I was going down to see my niece, my nephew's daughter, graduate from college. We were going down to the other side of Waco to Temple. And we went in the 421, just Cheryl and I. She's back in the back sleeping. You know, she loves to sleep. She's got a special seat back that reclines plumb back, flat. And anytime we get in the airplane, she's knocked out. And so I don't ever have to worry about her telling me how to fly. She's always asleep. So some men say, my wife tells me how to drive all the time. Well, I don't have to worry about mine telling me how to fly because she's asleep. She gets in the airplane, bam, she's out. It's just the way life is. She's back there sleeping, and I'm looking at the computer screen, and I'm going in, and I look as I go past Waco, and I look, and Temple is closed. I mean, it's zero visibility. I mean, you can't see nothing. I forget how high I was, 10,000 feet or something, whatever, and I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, from where I am to the end of the runway, I can do a 500-foot-a-minute rate of descent, and I'll come up right on the end of that runway. And I'm asking you, as I descend right into that, to move the clouds out of the way, and I want to land on a perfect, clear runway. Now, did God say I could ask him for anything? He said that several places, didn't he? So that's what I did. I asked him for that, and then I set the autopilot on 500 foot a minute, and the airplane started down, and the closer I got to it, the further the fog moved away until I get about 2 miles from the end of the runway. I can see the end of the runway, and the time I touch down, the runway is clear all the way to the end. It's beautiful. I land, I pull over to the little old terminal there, and a young man comes out and said, you need anything? I said, no, son, I'm just from Dallas. And I said, I got plenty of fuel to go home. I just come down to a graduation. He said, well, it's a good thing you weren't here 10 minutes ago. I said, why is that? He said, the airport was closed. I said, I know. 10 minutes ago, I was out there and I saw that. So I said, I prayed, and that's why it opened up. He said, you think you prayed? You think the clouds moved because you prayed? I said, no, son. I don't think at all. I know that's why they moved. I prayed and God moved them, and I landed on a clear runway. He says, I don't believe that. I said, that's okay, son. Don't you ever try it because it won't work for you. See, that's why Christians don't get anything from God, right? Without faith, it's impossible. If I can't please the Master, what do you think I'm going to get from him? That's absolutely right, honey. Nothing. And I want to please him, don't you? Yes, we, my honey bunny and me, we want to please the Lord. We want to do everything right because we love it. In fact, I hadn't told you, but we sent Jeff and Dave out for a couple of days of preaching, and I didn't get to tell you, but Jeff got to pray for, they both prayed for many people, and I'm sure lots of things happened, but we saw one miracle, and it happened to be when Jeff prayed for an elderly lady about 80-something years old that was shaking and tremoring. When he laid hands on her and prayed for her, her tremors stopped completely. I'm telling you, she was... Jeff and her both were excited, I'll have to say. You never get used to seeing God do miracles, right, Jack? He is an awesome God. And when he stopped that tremor, that right hand, whenever Jeff quit praying, she says, did you see what happened to my arm? Jeff said, yes, it quit shaking. And then he looked over to the other arm, and the other arm was shaking just a little bit. He said about 75% of it was gone. He just reached over and laid his hand on that one, and that one quit. And both arms, and the meat, everything after that, she was just as solid as a rock. Isn't it wonderful when God shows up to do these kind of things? He's an awesome God. But Jeff and Dave were pleasing the master, obviously, because they had both been teaching the Word of God with truth and power by the Holy Spirit. And so they were seeing God do something. Now, I want to show you something here. I'm going to go to a place here in the Scripture. I want to go to 2 Chronicles 16, 12 and 13. And I want to show you in 2 Chronicles 16, 12 and 13 what happens when you don't believe. Now, it's amazing the examples that God put in His Word. But look at what He says here. And Asa was one of the kings. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians or the doctors. Well, now, so what's wrong with that? It doesn't sound, I mean, that sounds just like that. Is that the way we do it? Is that the way about 90% of us do it? Whenever we have a problem, who do we go to? The doctors, the physicians. And thank God for good physicians. Because if we didn't have good physicians, the church would probably have been completely annihilated by now. You know, because we don't have any faith, do we, Jack? I mean, Jack, I keep coming back to Jack because he's such an intelligent man. So when I talk about Jack, and especially since he's a doctor, and he couldn't get rid of his own problem, and as you heard him say, he had spent about $5,000, his staff trying to get his own back healed, because if there's anything we hate, it's pain, isn't it, Jack? And we don't like pain. But see, most of us never put it together that the sin that we're living in, and it's real easy to sin, isn't it, Jack? I'm very easy to sin. And so I said, well, I asked Jack, have you had any kind of sin in your life? And well, yeah, you know, I'm a Baptist and I go to church, but I know that, you know, I've done this and I know that's not pleasing to God. But he had no idea at the time that those consequences would come back upon him in sickness and pain. Yeah. And so when you learn that and you stop sinning, and then you have no problem getting your own prayers answered, do you? But when the Lord says, I will not hear the prayer of a sinner. So before you were his son, but you were living in a little bit of sin. So with sin in your life, he don't hear your prayer. So you were praying for that back. But when you came out here and I got the other little ingredient, it's kind of like if you're a doctor and there's one little ingredient you need over here and one little ingredient you need here. If you leave any one of those out, it don't work, does it?
Just like baking a cake.
Just like baking a cake. Yeah, you can't leave out the eggs, can you? You got to have eggs or it don't work. But, I mean, is that true? I mean, you got to have all the ingredients. You know, all you ladies that have ever baked a cake or cornbread or anything else, if you tried to make rolls and left the yeast out, they didn't work very well, did they? They don't rise. I can't imagine that, but they don't. You have to have everything in there. So if you don't put the yeast in there, your rolls are not fit to eat. But just think, just putting a little drop of yeast in there can make those rolls awesome. I mean, I almost make my mouth water right now thinking about some of those good things. Woo! And if I go on here with a little country fried chicken and a little bit of home white gravy on top, hey, I think I'll let you stop and have something to eat. And Asa, in his 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceedingly great. And yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the doctors or the physicians. Well, let's see what verse 13 says. And Asa, he slept. I hope he had a good nap. What do you think that means? He died. So Asa died with his fathers, and of course the next word, and he died in the 40th year of his reign. Why did he die? Because he didn't seek the Lord. And so God just backed off and said, okay, Asa, if you're not going to seek me, I am the God of Israel. And if you want to get healed, you need to come to me. I'm the healer. He didn't do it. Okay, let's go to another scripture. I want to go to 2 Chronicles 16. I mean, no, 2 Kings this time. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. I want to hit all of those. 2 Kings 1, all 18 verses, and it don't make any difference. King James would be okay. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now then, before we go any further right here, I want to tell you something that if you haven't read this, King Ahab was not a good king. He was a real stinker. And if you read 1 Kings, you'll find out God wasn't happy with his boy. And if you haven't read 1 Kings in a while, you might read it and remember that you're looking for this story when the prophet is asked. He said, "And I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he was having a meeting with his spirits." Now then, you got to remember that God's in control of both the good spirits and the bad spirits. So God was having a meeting, and here is kind of rounding this up. This would let you realize you don't want to be here, but the Lord says to his spirits, both good and bad, "We have a king down there on earth, Ahab, and he's not doing what I want him to do. So what would be the best way to get rid of him? To kill him." Somebody said, "God would never do that." Well, you need to read this book, because this story is real. One of the spirits came to him and said, "Lord, I know how to get rid of him. Let's do this." He thought about that a minute. He said, "No, that won't work. That won't work." So another spirit came to him and said, "Lord, let's do this." And he said, "No, that won't work either." And then another spirit, now obviously this one's not a good one, because he came and said, "Lord, I know what to do. I will go down there and to earth, and I will become a lying spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets." Now, a good spirit wouldn't do that to you, would he? So the Lord's up there and he said, "That'll work. Go do it." And so that spirit went down to the earth, became a lying spirit in the mouths of all those prophets, and told Ahab, "Yes, go to war. You know, no problem. You'll win." And finally he called, he said, "Is there not a real prophet in Israel?" And they said, "Well, yeah, there's one." And so they brought him in and he says, "What do you think?" And he said, "You go to war and you're going to die." He said, "See, I told you this prophet, he never says anything good about me. He always tells me what I don't want to hear." In other words, he tells me the truth. When a man's living in sin, he don't want to hear what the results is going to be, because the truth will kill you. Sin brings forth death. Is that what it said? We don't want to believe that. We don't want to hear that. But he said, "We're going to lock you up and I'm going out to battle." And he said, "Well, you're going out to battle, but you ain't going to come back." He said, "If you come back, I'm a false prophet." So they locked him up and said, "Don't give you nothing but bread and water." So they locked up the prophet for telling the truth. And King Ahab goes out and he says, "Okay, I'm going to put my armor but on somebody else. I'm not even going to wear it. I'm going to put my king robes and I'm going to get in a normal chariot. That's why they'll not know who I am." So they go out there and they see this other guy that's dressed up like the king, and they go to chase him down. They find that this is not him. They recognize that's not the king. So then off over here, here's an old boy that's just sitting there, and he's a soldier. He just standing, and he reaches back and gets one of the arrows out of his quiver and puts in his bow and just randomly pulls it back and says, "Whing!" At random, the scripture says. Who's guiding those arrows? God is. That arrow goes flying through the air and comes down and hits right between the crack in the armor, but right there by his heart, goes into his body, into his heart, and kills Ahab. You think that was a coincidence? That was no coincidence. That arrow was divided by God. So that's a good lesson there. If you get into wickedness and doing things wicked, and God comes to the point where he wants to get rid of you, he's got all them spirits up there somehow to figure out how to get rid of you, and he can get rid of you. You know that? And when you learn that he's in control, it'll put fear in you, and you won't do those kind of stupid things no more. Because I guarantee it'll bring forth death. And I don't want to die yet, do you?
No.
I don't even want to be sick. Jack, which was best? All them years being sick with all that pain, or being well?
Being well.
Oh, yeah.
And taking no medication.
And no medication. Michael, it's been good to be well with your back, right?
Amen. 3 years.
It's been good to be through with your back trouble. But everybody that gets healed, and as many of you in this room have been healed, many of you. But let's look and see what happens here now. It says, when we go on past that story of Ahab, "And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in the upper chambers that was in Samaria, and he was sick. And he sent a messenger and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease." Maybe that's a doctor. I mean, I think it must be. I mean, I really think that these people, the Beelzebub, we look at that as the devil himself, right?
Yep.
But we have some doctors out here that may be devils themselves.
Yep.
But all doctors are not evil. Some of them are very good. You know, I mean, I don't know all the details, but I know that There's a lady that all of you know that was on the news just recently. Her name was Joan Rivers. She was a beautiful lady, didn't look nowhere close to her age. She had taken extremely good care of herself. Had she not, Mary? Is that true? I mean, was she a beautiful woman? What, honey? Well, I'm sure, but still, I mean, when you look at her from what you saw, she looked beautiful, didn't she? I mean, but you know, people with money, that's what they do. They want to look beautiful, and most people don't ever depend on God for it. You know, so although she was beautiful, she looked young, definitely didn't look like no 80-year-old woman, that's for sure. They'd done a good job on her, but she goes in for some little tiny out surgery, and because she had a little rasp in her throat or something. I guess she was a singer or something. I don't know. I don't know what she does, but anyway, she had this little problem or something in her throat. And so now, instead of going to a man of God and asking of the Lord, who'd she go to? The doctors. Just a tiny little thing. But yet they made some kind of a little something in her throat. And what did he do to her?
Killed her.
Yes, Jack?
Her physician has been essentially fired or released from the hospital. He can't practice there any longer.
Wow. Something happened. But the thing about it is, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. The doctor, if the doctor was there and he's a man of God, before he does something like this, if he's a man of God, what should he do?
Pray.
Pray. Absolutely right. Then he might have been able to solve her problem. She might still be alive today, right? So, I mean, if doctors would learn to depend on God instead of themselves, if they would pray, and in fact, Jack, you know, he is a doctor, and he's learned to pray. I mean, he prays over everything now, don't you, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Pray over everything. Nothing, do nothing without prayer. You know, so, but this particular king, I mean, I can see him now walking through the lattice work out there, and he steps on some rotten lattice, and he falls through, and it cuts his leg. I mean, that's not a big deal. You wouldn't think, right? If you're walking in obedience to God's word, God will just heal it. For if you just say, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, I mean, I fell down here and I hurt myself a little bit. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for anything I might have done. And now then, I'm asking you to touch me. And I want to pray for myself. But, Lord, just to make sure, I want to go out to your church where you're always there, to Living Savior Ministries. I want you to come out there and I want one of that team of prayer warriors. They got lots of prayer warriors out there. And I want one or maybe two of those prayer warriors to pray for me. And then when you do that, guess what happens? The Lord forgives you, He heals you, and you go about your way, and nothing happens. How many times have we seen that happen in this church? I mean, for you that are prayer warriors, could you even name the number of people you've seen God heal since you've been associated with this church? You don't even know, but you see it all the time. But this guy here, all he did was hurt his leg. He fell through the lattice, but then he's inquiring or going to the doctor. In fact, I will tell you something that some of you might not have heard yesterday. I hope you did. But the little lady was sitting right there that had the breast cancer that had been given up by the doctors, the lady in the wheelchair. We had a little lady sitting right here yesterday in a wheelchair. She had been to the doctors, and the doctors told her breast cancer had eaten into her body, and it was all over her body, and there's not anything else they can do. Hospice is all that's left. How many of y'all know hospice is the last step before you die? You know that? I mean, when they say hospice, it's done. They're going to give you some morphine or whatever to try to make you comfortable until you leave this earth. Is that right? That she was sitting right there in her wheelchair with her husband sitting right there. I told her, I said, you have unforgiveness towards somebody because you have breast cancer. And she did. I said, now then, if you will forgive that person or persons, I will pray for you, break the curse over you, and I guarantee my Jesus will heal you. So I did all that. Right there. Then I told her, I said, now then that you have forgiven everybody and you've been listening to faith spoken, I said, I want you to get up out of that wheelchair and walk around on this place. And what'd she do?
She got up
and she walked all over, took her oxygen off and everything. And she walked all over this place. We're here. You weren't here yesterday, was you, Mike? You missed a great miracle. You really missed a great one. You should come to more healing schools. I'm glad I was here. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm glad I was here. I got to see the Lord heal that lady. And then that lady said, well, now then, we've got a meeting next Monday with the doctors to see how the blood tests are going to work out. I said, ma'am, please, don't go back to that doctor. I said, if you go back to that doctor, you're probably going to die. I said, here's the thing. The doctors have already told you that it's hopeless. You're going to wind up in hospice. I said, you ain't got nothing to lose. Nothing. I said, just say, thank you, Jesus, it's done. I said, now, and stay out of that wheelchair and run around and praise the King. Just like I told Jack. Jack, did I tell you to go praising the King? And you praise him, and the time you got to your car, you sat down in your car, you found out, you realized from here to there, he took away your pain, and that pain has never reoccurred, has it? In all these years, he's never had the pain. But see, Jesus expects us to trust him. Amen. Is that what he said? Right. Trust him. So let's see what happens when this guy doesn't. When this guy does not, like I say, I told that lady, if you will stay in faith with me and you'll stay out of that wheelchair and you won't go back to another doctor, you'll just continue to praise and worship the Lord. And somebody said, how dare you tell her not to go to a doctor? The doctors have already told her she has no hope. The doctors have said, we've done all we can do. Hospice is all that's left. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you ain't got nothing to lose. Believe Jesus, and you're going to be the winner. Just like Jack was a winner, just like Kim was a winner, just like Mike was a winner. All of you that have been healed, many of you in this room have been miraculously healed at this ministry. Many of you. Oh, she was already in hospice. The chaplain of the hospital was here with her yesterday. Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't even realize that. Well, I tell you what. If I had been in hospice, the best place I'd want to be was right here. I can't think of no place else I'd want to be. Can you? I want to be where Jesus is, because he's the only one that's going to heal me, right? Wow. Well, let's go back down and see what happened to Ahaziah here after he fell through the lattice, and he's going to recover. To see, let me go see if a doctor can come and check me out and see if I'm going to live or die. That's what this is talking about, isn't it? But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? I mean, is there a God in this church? Does he show up in this church? Now then, I don't want us to ever be like that little story I heard about the church. I don't know what kind, maybe a Baptist or Church of Christ, or I don't know what kind it was, but there was a man that had been told he needed to go to church, and he wasn't very clean or nothing else, and so he had old ragged clothes on, and he goes into this church, he comes down, sits down somewhere, and the pastor invited him outside. He said, you know, we don't want such as you in this church. Now, that's kind of sad, you know, but they didn't want him in there. So he went outside, and he's sitting on the steps, and he's kind of crying, and somebody comes, sits down beside him. He said, what are you crying for? And he said, well, somebody told me I needed to go to church. And so he said, this is the first church I saw, but when I went in, they don't want me in there, so they told me to leave. And he said, that's okay, son. I've been trying to get in this church for 20 years myself. And he said, they won't let me in. He said, what's your name? He said, Jesus. Now, that's kind of sad, but that's kind of the way it is today. There's a lot of churches that he's not there. You know that? He's not in some churches. I mean, churches that say it's okay to marry homosexuals, let me tell you, he ain't there. You know, that's not okay with God. I mean, when you go back and look at Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever the angels, the Lord came by and Abraham said, Lord, where are you going? He said, well, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah has come all the way to me, so I'm going over there to check it out. And he said, if the sins are as bad as I have heard, he said, I'm going to destroy the whole area with fire. And that's when Abraham said, Lord, what if I can find 50 righteous men over there? And we got a city of hundreds of thousands of people. What if I can just find 50? You talk about the grace and mercy of our God. What did he say? If you can find 50 righteous people, I will not destroy the cities for the sake of the 50. But then he says, I've been there before. It's pretty rotten. So maybe I can only find 45. He says, okay, if you can only find 45. So he keeps on. What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? And what did the master say even with 10? If you can only find 10. Righteous people in the whole city, I will not destroy the city for the sake of the 10 righteous. Now, does that say volumes about our God? It's volumes. I mean, he does not want to destroy us. He wants to save us, but he expects us to live holy in his presence. And when they got there, they couldn't find but four people. Four. And then the angel told them, you got to get out. I can't do nothing until you're in safety. That meant that as long as they were in that city, he could not destroy that city because of those four people. But they left. And then he told them, when you hear the noise, don't look back. But poor Lot's wife, she couldn't stand it. She looked back, and when she did, she was instantly changed into a pillar of salt. She was killed instantly. So there was only three of them got out. Only three. Well, if there's that many of us righteous in this room, then God ought to be looking to do good things through us, right? Because we're trying our best to teach what His Word says and do what He says. But He says here that the angel of the Lord said to, He said, arise and go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now then, if I went to some city in Africa and I was not a Christian and I got hurt or got a broke leg or something in that city, and if I knew absolutely there was not a doctor in that town of no kind and I didn't know Jesus, do you think I would hang around in that town? Or would I try to get to a town somewhere that had a doctor that could do something to help me? Was that what I would do? Yeah, that's what everybody does. But if I knew that I was there and Jesus was there, and how many places is Jesus not? I mean, He's there, isn't He? I mean, Miss Jackie, you can't get where Jesus is not, can you? I mean, He's everywhere. So, thus saith the Lord, you shall not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. Now, because he did not inquire of the Lord, but he's going to inquire of the physicians or the doctors through Beelzebub, the devil himself, God was a little upset with him and told him that because you're going to do this, he was just very clear. He said, you ain't going to make it. So what good is it going to do Ahaziah to keep going to the doctor? If God's already said, you ain't going to make it, guess what's fixing to happen? You're going to die. You need to get right with God. And when the messenger turned back and said unto him, why are you now turned back? In other words, they hadn't been gone long enough to get over there. You know, today, if I were to send you to Justin to inquire of a doctor, I would expect you back in 20 minutes. Because it's not very far to Justin to back with a car today. But if you had to walk, you know, it's a long way to Justin. You know, it's only 2 or 3 miles, but you ain't going to be back for several hours. You know, you just can't do it. So these guys came back a lot quicker. So what's the deal here? Why have you turned back? Verse 6. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and he said unto us, go turn again unto the king and that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, as it is because there is not a God in Israel, that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art at, you're gone up to, and you shall surely die. That's not the kind of message I want to hear. You know, what are we waiting to hear? Yes, I'm going to be healed when I get over there. Right, Mary? I don't want to hear this. You know, you didn't come to me in faith, so you're going to die. But you know, I make those kind of statements to people. You know, I tell them, you don't believe. You know, that's just like Weston Blair. Weston always sits right here in this seat when he comes to this church. 10 years ago, Weston Blair come here. He's also a very smart man. He's a doctor also. He's not a medical doctor like Jack, but he has a PhD and he's a professor at the university. Weston came here 10 years ago, or came to see me 10 years ago, and he had cancer. And he had heard about me. He's a Baptist preacher. Weston Blair is a Baptist preacher and a professor at UT, and he had terminal cancer. And when he come here, and when he come in and got to me, I told him, I said, do you have unforgiveness toward anyone? I said, first of all, Weston, as a rule, men that die of cancer, they die of a cancer because of one of two reasons. The number one reason that kills Christian men is breaking the number one commandment, failing to put God first. You know? So men that are Christians that go do their own thing and never spend any time with God, won't pray for their wives and everything else, when those men come down with cancer, they wonder why. I have your answer. You've not done what God says. You've broken his rules. And so he's going to kill you with cancer. But Buston said, well, Thurman, that's not my case. He said, I love God. I serve him. I'm a Baptist preacher. I read his word. I study his word. I preach his word. I said, okay, then the next reason that causes men that are Christian to die with cancer is unforgiveness. I said, do you have unforgiveness toward anybody? He said, well, number one, I hate my dad. Now, then, does that sound like he's got unforgiveness, Mary? That wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, would it? I hate my dad. I said, why do you hate your dad? He said, my dad was a drunk. And he used to come in and grab my mother and throw her down on the floor and just pound her in the face with his fist. He said, I always thought if I could get big enough, I'd kill him. Does that make sense? I mean, if I saw my daddy beating my mother like that, Mary, I'd want to hurt him too if I could. But if I was little, I couldn't. Especially if he's drunk. And I said, do you have any unforgiveness toward anybody else? He said, well, yeah, a couple of other guys too. I said, okay. I said, I want you right now to forgive your dad. And I want you to forgive those men. And promise God you'll turn them over to him and you'll walk in love from this day forward. So he did. He said, okay, I have no problem with that. So he did. I said, now then, I'm going to break the curse over you. I said, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm going to break the curse over you. I'm going to command the spirits of curse to come out of you. And I'm going to ask the Lord to send his precious Holy Spirit to heal and restore your body. And I guarantee my Jesus is going to hear that prayer and he's going to heal your body. He said, well, Thurman, I've got an appointment this next week at MD Anderson. I said, okay, let me explain something to you, Weston. If you go down there and you have cancer this bad in your body, they're going to examine you. And the first thing they're going to say is you either need chemo or radiation or both. Or they're going to want to give you some kind of medication. I said, I'm going to tell you up front, if you take any of that, if you take the chemo, you take the radiation, or you take the medicine, if you take anyone, after I prayed for you, after you repented of sin, after you went to God, now if you go to the devil, if you go to their God, I guarantee God is going to kill you. You're going to die. He said, Thurman, I said, I'm just telling you the truth. Weston, I know what it says. I know what the word says. I know the word says that when I pray, I got to pray in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing. I said, if I waver, God clearly said in his word, he will not do nothing for me. So if he don't do nothing for me and I got stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ in my body in a few weeks or a couple of months, you're going to be history. You're going to be dead. Is that right? That's the way it works. I said, only God can heal you where you are right now. Only God. I said, you have opened the door to the demonic world because of your unforgiveness toward your dad and these other men. Now you've repented. Now I've broken the curse. I've kicked out these devils. And I said, now then, I pray the prayer of faith for you. So I guarantee you, if you'll do what I tell you, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. So Weston leaves and he goes to Houston that next week. And of course, doctors tell him exactly what I said. I said, Weston, you have such terrible cancer. To live even 6 or 8 more months, we're going to have to start chemo and radiation immediately. He says, no, I ain't taking nothing. I said, but Weston, he said, no. He said, I talked to a man yesterday that's had a lot of experience with God and seen a lot of people get healed. So he said, I'm not taking any chemo, I'm not taking any radiation, and I'm not taking any medicine. I'm going to just totally trust in Jesus. And the doctor said, you're crazy. You'll be dead in 6 months. He said, maybe I will be, but said, I don't believe I'm going to. The doctor said, well, Weston, if you ain't going to take nothing, he said, then if you're still alive in 6 months, come back to see us. He said, okay. 6 months later, Weston Blair goes back down there. He's feeling great, looking great, coming to church, everything. He looks good. Some of you know him. 6 months later, he goes down there and the doctor checks him and he says, Weston, I don't know what you're doing, but you better bottle it and patent it. Because it will sell. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's not a cancer cell in your body. Nowhere. And those of you that have seen Weston Blair know that all happened about 10 years ago. And today, Weston Blair is still totally free of all cancer. Now then, does Jesus work? Yeah, he works. But how do you think I learned these things? The hard way. I've seen people like this story. These two stories we talk out of Chronicles and Kings, as these people search for the physicians, what happened to them? They died instead of seeking Jesus. Michael, you didn't have to seek nobody but Jesus, and your back was instantly healed after 20 years. Yours was too. Jack's was too. And all the rest of you in here that have not called on today, many of you in here today. In fact, I'm going to ask this question. I'm not going to ask you to give me a testimony, but how many of you in this room, either yourself or your mate, have been healed through a prayer by somebody in this ministry? Hold up your hand. If you had somebody that's been healed, look at this. People, hands everywhere. People have been healed by people that prayed. Not necessarily I prayed for you, but somebody in this ministry prayed for you and you got healed. Jesus shows up here, does he not? The Master does show up. He shows up and he, but look here, when they seek, but he said unto him, there came this prophet, this man. Wow, I love that last line. But you shall surely die. What does the next verse say? Verse 7, what does that say? And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words, these things? Next verse, 8. And they answered him and said he was a hairy man, and he had a girt with a girdle of leather, and about his loins, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Wow. That's verse 9. Let's see what that says. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of the hill, and he spoke unto him, the man, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. In other words, the king didn't like the statement that the prophet said. So he's fixing to tell him, come down here. In fact, today we would call this not politically correct. And so when it's not politically correct, they send a government man to try to shut you down. You can't talk about healing no more. You can't. I mean, if you don't think this is coming to America, you look at our schools. When I was a kid, you could go to school, you could take your Bible, you could read your Bible. Today, you can take a Quran in there. You can take a Quran, a cotton-picking Bible that's not a Bible at all, and you can read about Allah and all that junk, but you can't read about Jesus Christ in schools. And we, you and me, have allowed that to happen in America. Woe is us, is all I got to say for us. We have allowed these crazy devils to take over in America, and we are the most powerful entity on the earth. It just never ceases to amaze me. Well, let's see what happened in verse 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Wow. Somebody said, you know, God is a gentleman. He would never do anything like that. Well, you haven't quite read all the book. What did that say? What he said, if I be a man of God. He didn't even go outside and see who they were. He said, if I be a man of God, may fire from heaven come down and devour you. That's kind of like the story I tell you all about when the Muslims come to America and they want to behead all of us. When they get us out there and say, okay, we're going to behead y'all. I say, okay, women first. I'm going to let Cheryl go first. And I said, they're going to take Cheryl over and they're going to put her in that thing. They're going to drop that guillotine. Her head's going to fall off and I'm going to run over and grab her by the hair of the head, pick her body up, stick the head back on and say, live in the name of Jesus. When she says, thanks, honey, I needed that. I mean, according to our faith, we can do that. You know that? If we believe, and then all we got to say is, okay, how many of you Muslims would like to know this Jesus that's done this? And I got a feeling we're going to turn the whole world upside down. I think there's going to be Muslims everywhere that not going to be Muslims anymore. They're going to be Christians because they see that kind of power. They want that God. And that's the God we serve, ladies and gentlemen. He can do that, just like right here. When they called for those 50, man, he just wiped them out, didn't he? Bam, just consumed them. Wow, well, let's see what the next verse says. Verse 11. Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king of Israel, come down quickly. Verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50. And the fire of God, the fire of who? The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Two times now. Wab, wab. Is that the God we serve? If we know how to touch him in faith, that's the God we serve. If we don't, he'll let you get killed. But this prophet, he knew who he was. Verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. No, it's about time. It's about time somebody falls on our knees before our mighty God. Is it right? I mean, I think it. I mean, that's probably where we fall down the most, is because we're ashamed to come in and say, Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my God. It don't make any difference who's watching. I could care less who's watching. I want him to know that I love him, I worship him, and I highly respect the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I am guarantee you, I am afraid of him. Because he has the power to say, I'm through with you, Thurman. And you know how long I'm going to live after that, Jack? One heartbeat. That's all it takes. When the Master says, come home, that's just like I believe with all my heart. I have no fear with nothing or no one, because I believe with all my heart until he is through with me, I am immortal on this earth. I cannot die until he's through with me. I mean, that day that I was down there underneath that 20,000 pounds of steel, when he said, son, you forgot to do your paperwork. I said, yes, Lord, that's true. I did, but I only like 15 minutes. I'll go do it. He said, no, son, go do it right now. So I crawled up under there, stood up and took the second step, and the supporting structure exploded and 20,000 pounds of steel was laying flat on the ground where I was 5 seconds before. Let me tell you, if he'd have been through with me right there, guess where Thurman Scrivener would have been? They'd have had to raise that steel up and scrape me out from under there and take me somewhere and throw me in a hole in the ground. But he wasn't through with me. He still had a project he wanted me to do, Michael, didn't he? He had a project, and he has a project for you. He's got something he wants you to do. And if you'll do it, I guarantee, as long as you're walking obedient with him and staying in that secret place that Dave talked about a while ago, I guarantee you won't be sick, you'll be well, and he will protect you. He'll send these angels, whatever, to protect you, just like he did here. This guy fell, oh God, I pray thee for my life and the life of these 50. I mean, is that something? It's time we realize, I'm not ashamed to fall on my knees, Lord. This guy was a heathen, but he fell on his knees before the man of God, did he not? Yeah. Because he just seen two bunches of 50 men consumed, and he knew the same God was in that room that he was going to have to approach. And in a few seconds, he's either going to do something for him, and his 50 is going to be history too. And he didn't want to die either. He wanted to live a little longer. Verse 14. Behold, there came down fire from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. But let the now be precious, but let life, my life, now be precious in your sight. When you plead with God, you can even be a lost man. Isn't that something? And he will. He'll do it. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. You know, I wouldn't have any problem with that at all. Would you? If the angel said, go down with them, Thurman, no problem. They're going to take you over to the jail. But don't be a problem. I'm going to go to jail with you. No problem. And when we get through over there, I'll tear the wall out and I'll let you out. No problem. I mean, why should we be afraid of anything, huh? That's it. We got to realize who we serve, whose we are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. But the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid of him. And he arose and he went down with him unto the king. Verse 16. Then he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, you shall not come down from off that bed of which thou have gone up. You shall surely die. Because we didn't inquire of the Lord. And how many of us as Christians even go to doctors and never really truly inquire of the Lord for our deliverance or our healing? Do we do that today? The majority of us do that. Do you know the number of people that come here that get healed is not even a touch for people that's sick in the Metroplex today? Mary, I know you work with people in nursing homes and everything else. So how many sick people? Do you have any idea how many sick people there are in nursing homes and hospitals in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex? Could you even guess?
A lot.
I'll agree with that. A lot. And think, here we sit out here in a little church in the middle of nowhere that we have the healing power of Jesus in this place. And people get healed all the time, do they not? People come here and get healed. And lots of you tell people, just like Rosemary sitting right there. The reason Jack came is because Rosemary told Jack to come out here and the healer would touch him. Is that right, Rosemary? Yeah, that's how he found out about us. A woman told him about us, and it was Rosemary. And Jack came out to see what we taught him. And he looked and he thought, well, this guy, he's not swinging off the chandelier, so you know, maybe he's not 100% crazy. You know, I mean, he may teach a few things I've never seen, but it is in the book. Is that right, Jack? And see, that Jack being a Baptist and a man of the Word, that's what touched him. And I remember when we were riding down the road one day, and Jack asked me, he said, Thurman, where do you get this sin and sickness connection? I said, well, Jack, it's all over the Bible. He said, well, Thurman, I've read the Bible, and I didn't see it. I said, well, this Saturday, I think that was on about a Thursday, I said, this Saturday I'm going to teach a healing school, and the first 2 hours, that's what it's going to be about, how sin and sickness are directly related. So he came, and he listened to the whole thing. And after it was over, he came to me and says, how did I miss that? I do not understand how I missed the sin-sickness relation. He later told me, said, Thurman, I can come back and I can read any six lines. Now listen to what he said. I can read any six lines in God's Word and I can show you the sin-sickness relationship. But he'd never seen it before. Isn't that amazing? How your eyes had been blinded by the God of this world, but once God opened your eyes to the truth of the Word, now an intelligent man of God can sit here and say, God, here it is, all over the place. It's everywhere. I mean, just like this example that we've been through right here. Is there any more verses or is that the last one?
Two more.
Okay, let me have the 17 then. Let me have 17. So he lived. Oh, that's not what it said? So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Now, Elijah was a prophet. And Jonathan reigned in his stead in the second year of the son of whatever, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Verse 18, let's see what the last verse says. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king or of the kings of Israel? Now we read about two men that were both kings that did not inquire of the Lord, but they inquired of the medical industry. And what happened to both of those men? They died. I wonder how many of us that go inquire of the medical world and never come to Jesus, or we wait till we're like we're the little lady in the wheelchair. We've been assigned to hospice. And so now then they bring you out here after you've been assigned to hospice. I'm going to tell you that that little lady sitting right there, if she does what I told her to do, if she does what I told her, after she repented of her sin, I'm going to guarantee you the day's going to come in the not too distant future, that woman's going to come back in here, walking in here with her husband, and completely free of cancer.
Amen.
We're going to see that. How can I say that? Wonder how many times I have seen that. A lot. That's right. I've seen it a lot. And some of you, just like Weston Blair. I mean, Weston, you know, 10 years later, the man's still totally, completely well. But you think about, would he get into unforgiveness toward anybody? No way. No way. I ain't going there. Done been there. Done had that cancer. Didn't like it. You know, didn't like it at all. But just think, if we all only believe the Word of God like it's written, what could we see him do? Oh, my goodness. I mean, Scott, you and Kim, as a couple, since your wife got healed and y'all saw God and you've been coming here and learning what you've learned, has it changed your life?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Totally changed the way y'all do business, right?
Yes.
Changed the way you raise your children, everything. You teach your children, everything. About God, because you know that he's, I mean, you don't go to nobody. In fact, y'all don't even go to the school system. Y'all train your children at home, all three of them,
exactly,
with the Word of God, because you don't want them learning the junk of the world.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, you teach your children the things of God. My prayer for each one of us today is that each one of us will seek God before we go anywhere else to anything, because he tells us, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. If you get up every morning praising him and worshiping him and thanking him for directing your steps, I guarantee your life will go much better. He will help you. If you're an engineer, like Tony, and you build and design equipment, if you ask his guidance and direction every morning, he'll make your life wonderful, won't he, Tony? And he'll show you how to do things that you never knew how to do. He knows everything, doesn't he? Wow, if we could only learn to seek God and trust him in everything and do what he said, and we realize. I mean, I love that story. First time I've ever heard that Gracie said about the pain in her side and how when her husband, see, if this had happened a few years ago, they wouldn't have known what to do. I mean, we'd have called 911. I'm hurting like this. My gosh, Michael, take me to the hospital. But now they understand, and now they're able to kick this thing out. And this thing left her body. And since that left, you ain't never had any more occurrences, have you?
But
only happened one time. You know, that's something that most of us have a problem with, but not my wife. I mean, if I have a pain or something, I mean, she jumps on me like a duck on a June bug, boy. I mean, she is on me with both feet saying, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I mean, she, just like you did, she will get me set free. If I get attacked or anything, I mean, in the night, I can have a cramp come up on a lot. I have this very often. But once in a while, she said, what's wrong? I got a cramp in my leg. Man, she's up there jumping on my leg. Come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. It's interesting to live in our house. When two people understand the spiritual world just a little bit, and what the enemy's doing and what God's doing, when you learn the power you have, you never let a good thing go by. I mean, you take an opportunity to kick them devils out. And it's amazing, you know, how did it go away? You know, isn't life wonderful when you know Jesus?
Amen.
Never let it be that any of us in this room ever go to a doctor again without inquiring of the Lord first. If the Lord tells us to go to a doctor, then you go to a doctor. But if he does not tell you to go to a doctor, then you inquire of him, you stand on his promises and believe, and I guarantee there ain't no disease or nothing in this world that's bigger than Jesus Christ. He can heal anything and everything. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do awesome miracles, heal people awesomely. He is, you don't need nothing else, nothing, but you got to trust him. Wow, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. I thank you that you are the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the provider. You're the savior. You save us, heal us, deliver us, and everything. All we need to do is learn how to have faith and stand on your promises. Well, Lord, help me to teach your people your word and how you operate. We thank you for these two examples in Kings and Chronicles where that you showed us what happened. When these kings went to a doctor, a physician, instead of coming to you, it caused them to die early. Lord, help us to never do that. Help us to trust you in everything. Help us to walk holy and pure in your sight so that we don't have to have these kind of experiences. But Lord, I praise you and thank you that you are the King of Kings. And as we go forth this week, Lord, touch our hearts, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and use us to do great things for the kingdom of God. And then, Lord, bring us back next Sunday. Bring us back and bring our friends with us so we can all learn from your word together, so we can learn how to walk holy and obedient to your word, so we can learn how to be disciplined children of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us and blessing us as your sons and daughters. Give us a great week this week and put us out there somewhere at the right place to pray for the right people, and where we can see you do great and mighty things to save the lost and to heal the sick and to do all the things that only you can do. But use us for your glory this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.